Christian Church, please point your attention to the screen for our announcements.
A water slide party July 28th. After church out on the grass, our kids' party will be a blast. Free pizza lunch with splashing fun. Mom and Dad, make plans to stay. Enjoy with us a fun-filled day. Ride the train while bubbles fly. If you can't come, we might cry.
Breakfast and golf outing on August the 10th. Join us at 7 a.m. in the parking lot. Bring $50 to $60 for golf and your money for breakfast. See you then.
In 2023, Operation Christmas Child volunteers in the U.S. collected 570 shoebox gifts. Other Operation Christmas Child sending countries brought that total to 11,330,000, over 11 million shoebox gifts sent to the ends of the earth. 11 million children reached. 11 million opportunities to share the good.
Verse. Your love is diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain.
Verse.
Surely come find us like blazing wildfires. Singing your name, mercy, sweet love of mine. I have surrendered. May this offering stretch across the skies. These hallelujah multiply.
As always, great to be here. If you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, we love that because every week, every day, every hour is the perfect time to worship you and lift your name up in praise. So please be with us as we do that. Give us the strength to raise a joyful noise for you. In your name, amen.
One, two, three, four.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. All the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, Jesus. Where sin and shame are powerless, forgiveness, where all I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the surrender my life, I'm in awe of you, I'm in. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. All, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. This memory will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
Two, three, four.
Through it all, my eyes are on. on you. Through it all, it is well. All my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. My soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Oh, my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name.
Refrain.
Is well.
My favorite scriptures begins in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Out of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even. As we partake of these emblems this morning, let's remember that Jesus left a perfect heavenly existence to suffer and die for us, may be forgiven. And as we partake of these emblems, let's remember the love that he showed for us in the abode of the Father, the same love, service, and obedience that God expects of us. Observing these communion emblems. save us from our sins. Remember the love that you and Jesus, and love that Jesus displayed in paying that excruciating price of death on a cross. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a worthy manner to Christ as we live our lives from day to day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come now to observance of our offering time. There's a box in the foyer in the greeting area next to us, and through the mail or online. But as we give, let's remember already given to us, and we give so that His kingdom may be established. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love that you've shown to us, and we thank you for all the blessings of this world that you have entrusted to us, and we pray that you would our tithes and offerings, that your kingdom may be established in.
Good morning. Everybody, I am too. It is just, this is like my thing, you know. I just love to come to church. And even before I was in the ministry, church was something I loved. Round two of our We Are Gathered series. And as we started today, you know, I want to ask everybody to think about your habits. Ones or bad ones? Or both? You know, and I told Leslie I was going to talk about some of my bad habits, and she offered to come up here. In fact, she almost begged me to come up here. And I said, you're crazy. You ain't getting up there in front of all those people and telling them all my bad habits. You don't have enough time. Bad habits, and Leslie just loves it, is I leave toothpicks all over the house. Yeah. Some of you are going, me too. You know, throw them out of the container. But I use it, and then I set it down, and she finds it on a side table, kitchen counter, bathroom, just wherever I have. And then she says, there's another one of your toothpicks, you know. Well, the other day, I went over by her chair, and guess what was laying in the floor? It was a toothpick. And another bad habit that I have is I scratch my head when I'm, you know, in a deep, if I'm stressed or someone has posed a challenging question or maybe somebody's been rude and I'm trying not to respond as I want to, I'll scratch my head. And the problem with that is situation. Because then they think you got bugs or something. And so there are bad habits. And as I'm talking about that, you probably have a significant other thought about some of your bad habits. But we all have bad ones.
but you also have good ones. And actually Habakkuk, now listen to this. This came from the American Psychological Association. It says this: habits are our brain's way of increasing its efficiency. Behaviors into habits, so we do them automatically and without too much thought, thus freeing up our brain power for other more important challenges. Our brain has a wonderful benefits for us. It allows us to function better in life. Just imagine if you had to consider and ponder every single task or reality. So good or bad, right or wrong, habits are powerful, aren't they? They are powerful. In fact, we know, you know, it takes an average of 66 days for a new habit to take root in your life. To take root. You have heard it three times that long for it to become rooted in and to become part of your everyday life. And with that little nugget of information, a habit follows a craving, doesn't it? They seek out rewards. Habits seek out a reward. If you really want to stop smoking, but you don't address the cravings and the rewards contributing to your habit, then you'll have an incredibly difficult time kicking that habit. True, when we create new habits, healthy habits, we also need to address the underlying cravings and the rewards that we're seeking to get out of them. So have a healthy, God-honoring relationship with others as a craving. Do you crave to have a God-honoring relationship with other people? Desire a consistent and powerful prayer life. Do you really crave to have a powerful prayer life? For a deeper understanding of this, are you hungry for a deeper understanding of God's Word? Do you crave it? What would your faith look like if you craved fellowship, communion, worship, and prayer? Would that make a difference? How healthy would your rhythm of gathering in fellowship with others become? And I'm going to use rhythm as an example because a rhythm in your life is system. And if you have a healthy rhythm in your life, then that rhythm is what drives you. It's what brings, I dare say, some of us, we start out with a pretty healthy rhythm, but it's like having a scratch on a record. Remember those days? And it might be sounding really good, and something disrupts the rhythm. You know, and it messes it up. So how could this rhythm, habits of faith that you've been wanting, you've been craving for so long? The early church knew something about gathering together and that the churches and the communities of faith have been. And Acts 2:42 highlights several things that they were specifically doing whenever they gathered together. And as I read this passage, I want you to listen. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now it's not too hard. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, if you see that in those passages, you got it. You're a Bible scholar. It's right there. Hard. It's not hard. Yet we make it that way. The early church devoted themselves to fellowship, the gathering together, to the breaking of bread, taking communion, and prayer. These are the rewards, if you will, a habit of gathering together with other believers, and the early church was devoted to it. And that word devotion is so powerful, isn't it? It is so powerful. Strength that prevails in spite of difficulties. To endure, to stay fixed in a direction, steadfast. The church was unwavering in their commitment to gather together for teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. In fact, in just a few verses, they persevered daily in meeting together. They went to church every day. That's a totally different thing than what we have in our 7.3 times a month as a regular attender. That's regular. Some of y'all doing really good. But at that, you're going to church just a little over 12. Doesn't sound like much of a habit, does it, when you link it out over a year? And, you know, I want you to think about something you are absolutely committed to doing every day in your life. A habit that is just part of who you are. For me, I got to get up and go to the Keurig and make a cup of coffee. I just do it. I got to make a cup of coffee. I'm in a panic. Matter of fact, if Leslie goes, will you make me a cup too? I literally roll my eyes. Like, really? I got to have mine first. I haven't had it. I'm going down the road looking for the first place I can stop and get one. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's a part of my life, drinking that cup of coffee in the morning that I just, that's all I can think about. And it's if you've got one of those habits, and it may not be coffee, it might be something really insignificant, and it might be something really bad. Get up in the morning and contact somebody other than your spouse. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's some sort of drug. Or maybe it's your habit to look at pornography first thing in the morning. Maybe it's just who you are. Habits become a part of who you are. Habits and addictions run hand in hand. And they become part of you. Is this the kind of habit you want? And can you learn a different way? What are the rewards that you really ask yourself? I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? What reward do I get out of this habit? Because most habits cost you. Well, let's go back to what the scripture says. What if your habit involved teaching, your rhythm, learn? Do you like to learn? If you're like me, I usually learn the hard way. But the reward of good teaching is learning. And something the early church was absolutely committed to. But learning takes time, and it can be difficult. Learning requires effort, and the reward, however, is a deeper understanding and knowledge. Now, I'm not sure I know any follower of Christ who would say they don't want a deeper understanding. That I've ever talked to somebody who says, I really just don't want to know any more about it. But what they really want is a deeper understanding of their faith in the Scripture. You don't find it by accident. We got lots of opportunities to learn here at Real Life Christian Church. Like-minded believers. Now, there's time for personal study, but you need to be in a group of believers together. I mean, this week, I got men that are in 102, and we'll gather up, and we'll eat a lot of meat. One brought a veggie tray, and we laughed him out of the room. But... and they gather up, and we eat, and we study Scripture together, and we talk about life together, and we become closer that way. Leslie does. It meets at the house. And again, there's food, you know, and I eat it. But they'll have food, and they'll read a Christian mystery book, and they'll sit down and talk about how it doesn't have to be a structured Bible study. It just has to include Scripture and discussion. So, guys, if you want to come eat at 30, we will eat, I promise you. If you leave hungry from man up, you just because you chose to. But, you know, we also have Sunday school class. A lot of places don't. We have them for all age groups. And then in August, because we've taken a summer off, there'll be other small groups that will begin to, you know, they've taken a summer break nights, and Dennis has got a Wednesday night church group that meets over here every Wednesday. Patty has a Tuesday morning for the ladies, and Leslie has a group of ladies. You see, there's lots of opportunities. And if you wanted to pursue a deeper understanding of God's Word and His will, those opportunities are available, but you include that rhythm in your life. Along with that, the next one, of course, is fellowship. How many of you don't like fellowship? You know, fellowship. Gathering together. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we learned from Acts 2:42 that the early church was devoted and steadfast. I'm not going to say that we need to gather in a formal service like this one, because you all wouldn't want to come to a church service like this every day. But I would encourage everyone to think about getting rid of the men. We're going to go play golf. 12 of us anyway. If you sign up quick, we're going to go play golf. And we're going to eat before we go. Girls time out, they plan stuff throughout the year. And you can go, they're going splatter painting or something, I don't know. But they're going to fellowship and have a good time doing it. Money. Well, you're spending, the same people that tell me that, I see them posting on Facebook that they're out to eat with their friends. Are they Six Flags or a water park? Or you have to choose which rhythm you really want to be in. Not that I'm certainly not mad because you went out to eat with your friends, but don't tell me you don't have any money to do things. It's just a choice. You choose the rhythms of your life. You choose the habits that you want to be a part of. And fellow 11th, you know, this year I told you we were going to spend a lot of time developing ways for you all to develop community and spend time together. On August 11th, we're going to have a luau cookout. But it's not going to be outside. We're going to cook hamburgers and hot dogs. You all are going to bring your potato salad, your baked beans, picnic foods, whatever you want to make, as long as there's banana pudding and butterscotch pie. Yeah, you get extra points if you bring a side plus two desserts. But we're going to set up downstairs and you can eat. And this is an opportunity for you to fellowship together, to get to know one another. So many times people come up to me and they say, well, you're never going to connect with anybody if you're just here on Sunday morning for an hour. And then you run to the car as fast as you can when it's over. I mean, these people, what an opportunity you have to find somebody who will come alongside you and grow in your faith together. I mean, you got to participate to get. And then there's the breaking of bread, communion. It's incredibly important. Here's why the early church was stubbornly devoted to breaking the bread. We find that in Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The cup saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat and drink this, communion is about remembering Jesus. His life, his sacrifice on the cross, his body broken for you and me, his blood, the God and man. His death, his resurrection, and most of all, his promises to return to come back and get his church. That's what communion is about. Now, I have lots of denomination communion every week because it becomes a habit. What's wrong with a good habit of remembering Jesus every Sunday? I don't want to lose, it's this one. I want to remember what Jesus did for me. That's the reason we have the Lord's Supper every week. I want to remember. These are the realities that a believer simply cannot forget. And because communion is explicitly done with others together. Think about this. Our common union is the thing that brings believers together all around the world through the millennia. Communion is an opportunity to remember him together every time we get together. It's just a beautiful reminder of our salvation. We're an eternal reward. Talk about a habit with reward. We're talking about salvation. Now that's reward, isn't it? But of prayer, the rhythm of a good prayer life. Simply put, prayer is an exchange where we make requests known to God and God receives. Hear. And he says, "I hear you." So we could do an entire series on prayer, and I have, and I probably will again. And so I'll keep this safe August 11th when we have a cookout. But let me tell you something. It's a gift to pray with others in a community. There's power best known together. In fact, when asked for advice on prayer, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, "Then this is how you should pray. Our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us from the evil one. Now, I imagine a lot of you know that, right? You could probably recite it in 25 different translations. You know, you've thought about the communal nature of this prayer. Did you ever notice Jesus doesn't instruct us to pray using personal pronouns like my and me? Instead, he uses plural pronouns like our and us. The most famous prayer of all time is a communal one. If not meant to be spoken in the midst of a fellowship with others, it's certainly meant to be spoken in with fellowship in mind. And when we're committed to praying together, we become together. So let's just recite it together. Our Father in heaven, come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven to temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. See, we even incorporate that into worship at least once a month. And there's value in it, in praying together. Especially that last part. Deliver us from the evil one. Because we live in a world that's full of evil. And we can't forget that. Satan is not your friend. And he would love nothing more than to disrupt your rhythm. He wants you to ignore your spiritual rhythms. And as we wrap up today, I want to revisit something I said last week. 5, where it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And I also said that there are benefits that we receive in that fellowship that it is together because it's who we are. When somebody asks you about what you believe, you tell them where you go to church. Don't you? You tell them where they're with. At least I hope you do. And when adversity comes to our doorstep, when things don't go our way, when we're angry, you know, we're confused, one another on towards love and good deeds, it's who we are. And while it's true, it's also true that there are numerous and wonderful benefits we experience. We learn, we remember, we fellowship, and we pray. Just to name a few. The early church was committed to these practices, and I've got to believe that they it's the things we need to persevere in all the difficulties. So I'm going to challenge you this week to identify some of the things you do every morning, every evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's positive about them? What would you change on a regular basis? Can I ask you to consider? Are there things keeping you from fellowship? Is there past hurts, fears of the rich rewards of a life of fellowship with others? Remember this. No one to stay away from the church than Jesus. No one. No one's been more hurt by church people. Nobody. Jesus doesn't come to you and say, well, I can't come to your church because so-and-so goes there. Jesus, what the preacher said last week, so I'm not coming. Jesus doesn't say, well, I don't like their coffee. It's not. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He knows rejection, and he knows pain. So when we come up with all these excuses about why we don't gather, you're really just telling God, you don't care. I participate because I don't care what you think. I'm more worried about me. And you're missing out on the benefit of having it help you through the hard times in life. The joy of praying together. The joy of taking communion and remembering together. And most of all, those difficulties. But it starts with a relationship with the one who loved you enough to die for you. It starts with confessing him as Lord, being baptized into Christ, and receiving this invitation is for you. for you to choose Jesus. And once you choose Jesus, it's up to you to develop that rhythm in your life. What's important? I say Jesus is. Because it's an eternity that's on the line. It's holding you back. When we sing this next song, give it up. Give it up. Give it to God. Breaker. You've got a decision to make. We all have to choose to live in the rhythm God wants us in. Examine our rhythm as we stand and sing.
The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Death he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Is your sting a resurrected king? Has rendered you overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Time is overcome.
I want to thank all of you for coming out and worshiping with us today. Hey, just remember, too short here on earth to try to build our faith alone. We're here together as a body of believers to get through this life. Opportunities to build those relationships. And it won't happen just in here on Sunday morning. It's a lifelong commitment together. Christian church, living out a real faith as real people, which means there's got real problems that we're going to help each other with. Don't forget, if you're going to play golf, I need you to sign up so that we can make sure we got a spot for you. And I know you're going to go. I don't even know where we're playing. I'm just going to go lose a lot of golf balls. A lot of extra. So, guys, don't forget. And if you're visiting, stop out there and see Leslie on your way out. And I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards. The one that comes in here and sings and gets our warm fuzzies. But the one that goes out and lives it every day. All right. Leah Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Thank you for this time that we came here today, that we could learn about you and worship your name. Please bless all the things that are happening. This will just bless us as we try and do our best to live life according to your will and do all the things that can further your kingdom. They're traveling and everybody else in general. In your name, amen.
The ground began to shake. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.